Well, good morning, everyone. It's a blessing to be here this morning and sing those beautiful words. And I just sat there, one of the songs a little bit, and just thought about them as we sang. Sometimes it's good to do that because, you know, do we really mean what we're saying? Do we really mean what we're singing? In Isaiah 50, verse 7, it seemed like there's a ringing here a little bit. It says, "For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, that I know, and I know, that I shall not be ashamed." It's Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7. 2 Samuel 23, verse 10, this is talking about one of David's mighty men. His name was Eleazar. "He arose and he smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave to the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil." A picture I have in my mind this morning is of a man, a brother or sister, a person that has a prize in his hands, and he has his eyes on a goal, and his face is set like a flint, and he keeps on going. He keeps on going. That's a picture I have this morning in my mind. Through whatever it may be, come what may, that his eyes are fixed upon a goal. And I've thought about that verse a little bit. Like a flint, you know, how many of you know what a flint is? Any idea? Anyways, most commonly for me, when I see a flint, it's a striker on a torch. It's something that's a really, really sharp piece of stone, or hard, rather. And in the old days, the natives, they would use them to make them into arrowheads. They're very sharp and very enduring. And so Isaiah, I believe Isaiah said this, but he sets his face like a flint. And I just, in my mind, I picture a face that is set upon a goal and nothing pulls it away. Keeps on going. And in the meantime, clutching on to the Word of God, because it's in it has directions for the race. In it is all we have. And holding on so hard that your hands literally be pried off. I picture this man that smote the Philistines. He was holding on to that sword. And it was probably they had to maybe loosen his hands up. It was so he held on. And I think of the Word of God today, our precious prize in our hands, clutching onto it with all of our heart, and our faces set like a flint to run the race that is set before us as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. My heart is to encourage you all in the race that we have begun, that we would endure, that we would continue, we would be faithful, that we would not turn aside, that we would not give up, all in the humility of Christ, that we would finish the race and have the insignia of God Almighty on us, that He will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." You can turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 if you like. 2 Timothy chapter 2. beginning on verse 1, and I'm going to read a little bit here, and then we'll come back and we'll go through some of these verses and then kind of just leave that as a little place to begin or platform to start from, I guess. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Okay, we'll go back and we're going to just begin, kind of walk through down to verse 5 a little bit and then kind of go from there. On verse 1, Paul here says to his son Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and all the things that you have learned, have heard me speak and preach among many witnesses, all these things commit and teach to other faithful men, so that they can also teach others. And to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, I've thought about those two words, strong and grace. Today we don't put them together too often. You know what I mean? But to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And I thought about this. Let us remember that the gospel of Jesus Christ was not and is not meant to be contained to just those who are ordained or those who are in the pulpit or the ones over us in the Lord or whatever, but to all who will be faithful so that they may teach others as well. And this brings me to a little point. You know, how many of you remember, I certainly do, how all you had to do on a Sunday morning maybe is go to church, make sure you appeared in church, and you submitted and obeyed to everything that was put forth, and the preachers had church for you, and you went on. Most of us remember that. That's not a picture of God's kingdom. It's not a picture of God's kingdom. It's not a picture of the church today. And I think of the thing that I think about is that was then. We were unbelievers. We were not believing people. But I think of today. You know what? I believe that same thing can happen today. The very same thing can happen today. That we kind of relax back in the pew or whatever and just sort of kick back and, you know, the preachers are having church and whatever. You know, we're just here. It's not enough. It's not enough. It's not being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Remember that term this morning? We'll use it often. Because there obviously, if there's good soldiers, there's also some that are not good soldiers. So be a good soldier. Be a real soldier. Be involved in the battle. We'll go on here a little further. And as we go through here, I want you to keep in your mind the picture of the person clutching onto his precious prize with his face set like a flint upon the goal. And he's undeterred. He keeps going forward. I heard Moses Alsous said this. He says, onward through the fog. I believe he said that. I might have to verify that. But through all the things. You know, though troubles come, though trials come, though deception happens all around us, though many people fall away, we still must continue. We still need to keep going. It still won't take away from the Word of God. Verse 3 to 5, that we as God's people would be able to endure hardness as a good soldier. A good soldier, in parentheses, of Jesus Christ. And as we are engaged in the battle, that we would not entangle ourselves in the affairs that tend to pull us out of the battle and make us to be a not good soldier. But rather that we would engage so that we may please Him. Jesus Christ, God the Father, who chose us to be a soldier. And also we will not be crowned except we engage and strive lawfully. I was originally, when I prepared this message, I was originally going to take this chapter and just go down through it. And then for some reason, after verse 5, I went off on another path. And this is how it ended up. So we're not going to leave it, but we're going to start going in a little different direction. And I maybe have said this before, or said about the Navy SEALs, I'm not sure. Maybe I've mentioned that to you. And I know, consider the Navy SEALs in training. And like I said, I know it's for an earthly goal and honor that they have, and it's all for their strength and endurance and whatever they've got, you know. But their dedication, their endurance, their obedience, their honor and respect to authority is amazing. And I'll tell you, very few make it. Out of a class of 150 of them, there might 30 make it. And they are brought, there's three words that they remember: honor, courage, and commitment. And they are taught to obey. If you go there, I think it's the first day or so, if you need a haircut, they're going to give you a haircut. And I know this is all to the glory of man, whatever, but I'm just trying to draw a picture here. And they teach you how to make your bed, and you're expected to make your bed every single morning and make it just right. If you don't, there's a punishment for it. And they are just rigorously tested and tried. And tested and tried, and they must obey. They must obey and keep going. Keep going forward, or else they won't make it. I read that the instructors, their job is to find the weak, the weakest, the one that's the weakest, the ones that just can't make it. And those are the ones that can't make it. They won't make the race. They won't finish out. They weed them out. Slowly, as it goes on. I mean, it's unbelievable the things they do. They do such things as they make them stand in line with their clothes or dressed right, and they have to be dressed just right, and everything needs to be perfectly in order. Their whatever, all the rules and stuff needs to be just right. And if you fail that, It's crazy. They'll make you, they call it a sugar cookie. But they make him go out and run into the surf and get all soaking wet from head to toe, and then roll around the sand and get all full of sand and dirt, completely covered, and then get up and go about the day just like that. That's how strict it is. Again, it's for an earthly goal. But sometimes I think if we can draw a conclusion of the dedication, and they're willing, when they come out of there, they're willing to give their very life for whatever it takes, and they'll never give up. They'll just keep on going and fight until they are overcome themselves. But it's just that dedication, that endurance. Let's go on. Jesus said in Matthew 7, He said, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." That's just a picture. And I don't know what few is, but Jesus said it. A piece of steel. I know I maybe mentioned this before one time I did, but enduring hardness is a piece of steel that is tempered just right. You know, you can take a regular old piece of steel and you can literally bend it and shape it and whatever you want to it. It's but when it's hardened just correctly, just right, it can be made into the teeth of an excavator bucket. It can be so hard and take so much abuse, and yet it keeps on digging. It keeps on going. And there's multiple other little ways you could explain that. But just the endurance, enduring as a good soldier, enduring hardness. Okay, let's move on here. Point number one, continuing as a good soldier, can we have the strength, the steadfastness, the endurance, the honor and respect for authority, and yet be humble and broken? I thought about that. And then the thing what you're going to see, what you will see here, I think, is those Navy SEALs, you know, they're it's a great picture and everything. But sometimes you will differentiate. There's going to be a big differentiation between the soldier of God and that. Because the soldier of God is truly broken and truly humble. We'll see that as we go on here. 1 Peter chapter 5. I'll just turn to these. I don't have them. 1 Peter chapter 5. If I can find it here. Okay, verse chapter 5 and verse 5 and 6. Y'all know these verses? Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. If we are proud, unbroken, unyielding, and stubborn, God will not be able to use us. In fact, he may resist us. And we may not truly finish the race. Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." You know, if you're in here this morning, and I remember as a teenager growing up, and it seemed like there was a point in time where that time comes where you really look up to dad a lot, you really, really honor your dad, and then it seems like you begin to have confidence in yourself, and you sort of start turning away from that. And just not looking the same way anymore. It happens. You don't have to, but it does happen. So this morning, if you're here as a young person, a young man, whatever, maybe you're 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, and it's just really hard to listen to dad and mom. Maybe, just maybe, you are unbroken. Maybe you are unyielded. Maybe you're stubborn. And you know what lies at the core of all that? Selfishness. That's what it is. It's amazing. I thought about that. It's selfishness. I thought about that song, "Am I a Soldier of the Cross," as well. Point number two. Continuing as a good soldier, can we have the strength, the steadfastness, the endurance, the respect and honor for authority, and also have a resistance and dislike for the world and all of its allurements? James 4:4 says this, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." The Word of God says it is impossible to be a friend to the world and at the same time, a friend of God. In fact, it's adultery. It doesn't work. 1 John 2:15 and to 17. It says, love not the world. And I know, I read these verses and I thought about them, you know, and my mind went back years and hab nicht lieb der Welt. We heard that all the time. But nevertheless, it don't matter who abused that verse or who said what about it, if their hearts weren't right or whatever. Nevertheless, it still says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, the scripture says. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Again, thank you. It doesn't matter who abused the verse, how many hundreds of years people have misinterpreted it, it's still in the scriptures as solid and firm as can be. It's still scriptural today. It still means just what it says. I don't know how much it can be twisted and turned other than just what it says. It says what it says. Here it states that if any man loves the world, its attractions, its allurements, it's whatever. You can fill in the blank. I mean, the list goes on. It's tremendously huge. The love of the Father is not in him. And one day, the love of the world, one day them that love the world and those that love God will truly separate like a jet taking off from the earth. Went to Haiti here a while back and sitting there off, many of you have flown and you're taking off down that runway and all of a sudden there's a separation happening. And the things down there, they're going away. And there will be a true and just and accurate separation of them that love God and them that love the world one day. And it'll be right. It'll be perfect. We thank the Lord we don't have to do that. Had a thought this morning. When we have a continual hankering after the world or just groping for, just kind of right there, we got to have it. If we continually have it, we shall never be satisfied. But in the wake of the last wave of the worldly things and its lusts, we will be left gasping for more. That's all it does. Like a ship leaves a big wake, in the wake of all those floods of things that come, we'll never be satisfied yet again. We'll be gasping for more. Point number three. Continuing as a good soldier, can we have the strength, the steadfastness, the endurance, the respect for authority, and also have a keen awareness to the inclinations of the flesh? To have it in subjection to God. I'd like to read Romans 8:1-14. You can turn there if you'd like. Romans 8:1-14. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Note how many times in here there this flesh and the Spirit are in these, I mean, there's many, many times, just in how they're contrary one to another. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If we're led by the Spirit of God, the flesh should be at bay. And I thought about this. No man ever hated his flesh. None of us will leave an open wound on our hands. We'll take care of it. We'll do those things. We'll take care of those things. But I think, you know, and when I was preparing this message, I wondered, why, Lord, do you have me speak or say things that I don't feel like I have accomplished or mastered or totally overcome in my own life? But we live in a society that is so pampered. It is so, I mean, if there's something to do to make it easier, if it's something to do to make a little more money quicker and easier, we'll do it. There's no, it seems like it's so easy just to keep going down that path. But Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. The way of the cross leads home. Thinking of that song, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? There's a verse in there. It says it like this, if I can find it here. $295, maybe. I thought about these verses this morning. We sing this often. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Thy saints in all this glorious war shall conquer though they die. They view the triumph from afar and seize it with their eyes. Remember the soldier running? When that illustrious day shall rise, and all thy armies shine, in robes of victory through the skies, thy glory shall be thine. And I want to be careful as I speak here too, because, you know, I see a lot of things in my own life. But maybe it would be okay to suffer a little bit. Maybe it would be okay to make a choice that maybe denies comfort a little bit. And no, it's not working to earn righteousness either. No man yet hated his flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. Yet in this scripture we are reminded that the flesh and the spirit are enmity, and to be minded after the flesh, just to continually be minded after the flesh, is carnal, and to be carnally minded is death. The point is that we will take care of our own flesh, the things that we have to take care of in our body, we do that. Yet if we're always on the watch for something, someone, to make our lives easy, more comfortable, more whatever, just whatever. You can fill in the blank. I feel in my own heart that this invariably will have an effect on our spiritual lives. I know this is a tough one. I know this is a tough one. Because we live in a society that literally just about sees no suffering, and we have way more than enough. You know, I think about even, it's just, I mean, it can be manifested, the flesh can be described in so many different ways. I think I'll just leave what I'm thinking there, but it could be in the way we dress. It can be the things we wear. It can be the things we drive. It can be the hankering after expensive foods. It all those things. May the Lord give us grace. May He give us wisdom. Galatians 5:16-21. I'll just read those verses. It's God's explanation of the flesh, and I hesitate to say my own words. Really, I don't want to say much. Galatians 5:16-21. This I say then: walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. Thank the Lord for that this morning. Okay, we'll continue on here a little more. Point number four. Continuing as a good soldier, can we have the strength, the steadfastness, the endurance, the respect for authority, and also at the same time not lose sight of a vision for our families and our children? The song we sang this morning at home, read you a verse here. This is about spreading the gospel, but it has another little point that I'd like to share. Swiftly are turning life's daily pages. Swiftly the hours are changing to years. How are we using God's golden moments? Shall we reap glory or shall we reap tears? This is for the gospel, the next verse. Millions are groping without the gospel. Quickly they'll reach eternity's night. Shall we sit idly as they rush onward? Haste, let us hold up Christ the true light. Souls that are precious, souls that are dying. While we rejoice, our sins are forgiven. Did he not also die for these lost ones? Then let us point the way into heaven. Into our hands the gospel is given. Into our hands is given the light. Haste, let us carry God's precious message, guiding the erring back to the right. Think about our families with that a little bit. I know that's talking about abroad, but think about our families here this morning. Ephesians 6, 1 to 4, I'll just read a few things here. Ephesians 6, 1 to 4. Okay, it says, children, are you children all listening? Children from, if you can hear me say your children, listen. This is what God says to you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Colossians 3, 20 and 21. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Again, children, are you listening? For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. 1 Timothy 3, 4 to 5. I know this is talking about ministers, deacons here, but I think we should, you know, if we feel like we can escape these principles in God's word because we're not ordained, then I think we're missing it. We're missing it. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Hang on. Sorry, okay. One that ruleth his own house well, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? All right, Titus 2, 1 to 7. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience, that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. This part of the message has probably been the most urgent on my heart. Because time is swiftly, as that verse that we just said there, swiftly are turning life's pages, swiftly the hours are turning to years. We don't have time to waste. Because in a moment, it'll be over. It seems as time goes on, the battle against the home, against the family unit, against having the hearts of our children, it has become very difficult and continues to be so. But God is able, if we will but make choices that lead in the direction of godliness, he will do it. And one of the biggest things that I face my own at home, okay, is time. It seems that there's always a reason to be on the run and be on the go, not have time for family time, devotions, Bible reading. Gotta go. We gotta go. We gotta keep going. But do we really? And I wrote, Lord, help me first. Godly homes, families, children that are content to be at home with dad and mom will not happen on the go. Won't happen. What we find in our home is that the more we go and the more we run, the more we want to go. The more we got to go. There needs to be something planned. Just keep on going. But I think it breeds something in us, even in us, not just our children. But we just got this thing that we just got to be on the run. Well, what are we doing tonight? Where are we going tonight? I don't think the vision that we have for our children, for our families, will happen on the run. Though many things are good. I'm not saying there's many things that are good to do. But at the same time, if you have a little pearl over here, it might be worth $100. But over here you have one that's very big and it's worth maybe $1 million. What would you go for? You know, we're not supposed to, I'm just an analogy. We don't love money. But what would we go for? What's most important? Godly homes, families, children to be content at home with dad and mom will not happen on the go, on the run. Every week, most nights are planned, etc., etc. Suppers, gatherings of all sorts. Eating, playing, talking, whatever. And as I said, these things are not necessarily all wrong. But in excess, I think they can be detrimental to the family life. That's what I think. I believe it in my own heart. I can see it at home. Work. Oh Lord, may you help us in this endeavor to raise our families for you. In our own efforts, we will surely fail. And as I said before, I like to say this again. Most of us have known people or know people, whatever, that have taken they begun the course, but today it's off on another path that doesn't appear to be going towards God. It's another direction. But again, it doesn't matter about that. The scriptures are still true today for us. They still mean the same. They still have the vision for godliness in families. You know, and I just reflect back a little bit here, and I think about, you know, what happens over time is our vision and our goals become less sharpened. They become maybe blunt, and we just kind of forget. We slowly let them go away. And so to have a vision for a family, and may I say, as we heard 10 years or 12 years ago, you know, there was so much emphasis put on the family. So much emphasis put on the family. And that's, I think it's wonderful. I think it still needs to be. And I'd like to just say one other thing, if you can bear with me and bear this with me as I say it. In carefulness, I have a question. You know, I'm thinking of the idea that when my child maybe becomes 15 or 16, it's like the switch gets turned on and they got to run. I kind of wonder about it. They have a little more freedom to just go, just run, just continue to go. And I wonder, brethren, sisters, let's think about it. Godly homes, it happens in the home, not on the run. I'm not saying none of it can be, but godly homes and godly families, children with convictions, it's not going to happen on the run. It won't happen. I asked my wife yesterday, what would happen if I was thinking of ourselves, what if we would say, okay, for a month we'll be home, let's be home 4 nights a week. Just stay home, at least 4 nights a week. Just stay home. I thought about that. You know, I wonder what would happen in my life. And And I think that there's been weeks where we decide, let's be home more. And we've been home more, and what I find and what I've seen is the more that we're home, the more that our children are happy to be there. They're fine. Godly homes won't happen on the run. It just won't happen. And I thought about this, you know, I thought, if there's an altar that we're sacrificing to, I thought about myself, what altar will I sacrifice my precious children and my family to? What will it be? Will it be work? That's the biggest battle that I face right now. I'm just open and honest with you. Is working busy, and just it seems like the demand is great. But will I sacrifice my family and my home to that? Really? I don't want to do that. Lord, help me. Point number five. We'll move on here. Can we, as a good soldier, have the strength, the steadfastness, the endurance, the respect for authority, and also finish the race? Can we finish the race? You know, it doesn't matter if we started. It don't matter how we started. It don't matter how beautiful the beginning was. Those are good things, blessed things. But it's, will we finish, will we endure until the end? Second Timothy 4:6-8. For I am now ready to be offered up, and the time of my departure is at hand. This is Paul speaking. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Matthew 25:19-23. Matthew 25:19-23, just about there. After the long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 more talents. His Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. The Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then it goes on to the 1 talent, but I want to leave that. We're just going to break off right there. Will these words, will you hear, will we hear, will I hear these words? Well done, Peter, you made it. Dennis, you made it. Well done, Arlen, you made it. Well done, John, you made it. Enter now into the joy of the Lord. Well done, Brother Josh. Well done, Brian. Will we hear those words? Well done, thou good and faithful soldier of God. You have fought a good fight. You have finished the course. You have kept the true faith. Your house has stood the test when the rains and the floods of opposition, danger, apostasy, ungodliness threatened your foundation. Yet your house stood of all the approvals. And then, okay, comma. Of all the approvals, the affirmations of others that we desire to hear, this is one that we don't want to miss. The approval of God at the end of all things when we are welcomed into our new eternal home forever to be with the Lord. We don't want to miss it. It's not worth anything. Nothing. Well, we hear those words, well done. Okay, we'll move on. Point number six, I don't have a really long message here. After all is said and all is done, the time has expired. The lots will have been cast. And all is over. All of men, with their varying opinions of the gospel, all the different, I believe it says this, and I believe it says that. I believe this is the right interpretation of it. No, I think it's this way. After it's all done, will you have this seal upon your heart, and will it be stamped there by the Almighty God of heaven? Turn to 2 Timothy 2, 15 to 19. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doeth the canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and have overthrown the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. He was speaking of this Hymenaeus and Philetus. They took people and they taught them wrong doctrine and sent them down a wrong path. But he said, but nevertheless, the foundation of God is still sure. Again, as we think about all the different interpretations that men have come up with and believe that this is the way to God. Nevertheless, God still knows them that are his. And one thing for sure is his people that name his name will depart from iniquity. They'll go away from it, at least by the grace of God and with his strength, move away from it. Go away from it. I had drawn up a little seal that when I read this verse, a picture came to my mind, and a seal. You know, I call it an insignia. That's the name of, that's the actual word for it. You know, people have this on their arm that says they're this, and the mechanic wears that ASE thing. I don't do that just because I struggle with promoting my accomplishments. I don't like it. But it's an insignia. It's something that's stamped there. And I drew this picture. Maybe I'll get it to you somehow if you'd like to have it. But the seal of God that is stamped upon us, that God says, I know you, Caleb. I know you. I know you will depart from iniquity. Rufus, I know you. Will he know you? Delmer, does he know you? And I thank God that he does, many of us here. I realize that, but I'm just will his seal be stamped upon me? Of all the people, when it's all said and done, and the judgment is all done, the sickle will have come and cut the wheat. It'll have went through the thrashing machine, if you want to call it that. A combine went around us not long ago, a big field, and I'm always just amazed. You know, you watch that, they got this tall standing corn here, and they go through there, and out the back goes the junk and all the garbage, and the beautiful corn is piling up in the center. Someday, there's going to be a big harvest. and it will be perfect. And not one kernel will be lost. And not one piece of fodder will make it into the kingdom either. It will be absolutely perfect. When he cometh, does he know you and me? And Lord, help us to examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith. Be careful. Be careful. I know I said this, after all is done, and all of men's various doctrines and various ways, men have tried to please God and find his favor, there is a seal that's authorized by God alone that we must have. And all of these and these alone shall enter into the promised land. Let us endeavor to have God's approval, his stamp and his seal upon our lives today, young and old. May God help us. May the Lord help us. Again, picture with me the person, the man, the brother, the sister, clutching in his hand his wonderful prize. And he won't let go. We do clutches in vehicles sometimes. And a clutch is something that the motor's spinning all the time, but a clutch is something when you push it in, it pulls it away from the motor, from the flywheel. But when you leave that thing in, that thing will engage and it's gripped onto there and it won't let go. May we have this precious word in our hands. May our faces be set like a flint towards that heavenly goal. Let's not quit. Let's not give up. Let's not turn aside in all humility. May God help us. Pray for us in our needs. There's much ground to be gained. But I had a picture of this. Am I so strong that I can run myself? No, I am not. And brother, you're not either. I had a picture of a bunch of brothers, you know, with this precious word in their hands, holding on, it's there, and all their faces reading the same instructions, going to the same goal together. How strong can it be? How strong can it be? And yet, if we're diverting in other ways, I have my own way. How weak will it be? How weak will it be? Let's keep on running, brothers. I hope you heard my heart. I hope I did not come across in any harsh way. I felt like the Lord laid this burden upon my heart, and it was for me. I when I was studying for this, I thought, Lord, why do you give these things to me when I am so weak? When I don't feel like I've got it all. I'm pressing on, Lord. I need you. Nevertheless, the word of God is still true. The standard of God, it don't matter how old we are, how much wisdom we've gained, his standard is still to be wretched for. It's still to be wretched for. Let's keep reaching. Lord bless you all. If I said anything that was unscriptural, please see me.